Hey yo, we came to rock the venue. Then the swallow several shots. So yeah, you go follow by 20. Hi guys, welcome to the Maps podcast. It's episode 10, I think. But anyway, who's counting? Whatever, I've not done enough. But it is, more importantly, today we have a very special guest. I'd like you to welcome Mr. Paul Mort.
I feel like I should be having a round of applause.
Yeah, mate, me too.
But I'm sure silently somebody listening is clapping their hands.
So, mate, before we even go any further, I asked a load of my friends and people who are on your email list and all that kind of stuff. I said, you know, I'm going to be interviewing Paul Mort for my podcast, and yeah, I want some questions and all that. And one of my pals, Ashley, came back within about 10 seconds. He was like, "Are you sure you want to do this?" I was like, "Why? Paul's cool, right?" He was like, "Yeah, but you two together, that's fucking fire." And I was like,
we'll have to slow down the rate at which we talk, probably. Yeah, dude. Imagine two Geordies doing a podcast together.
Fucking hell. Yeah. Translation central, you know. So, we've got a Manc and a Geordie. Right? Yeah.
Anything could happen.
Mate, it could. A few people, if they were sat in the same room as us, would be hiding their purses and all that right now, wouldn't it?
Hiding their teeth.
yeah, definitely. But listen, Paul, nice one, mate. You know, we're good mates, but thank you for your time. So I mean, I've got a ton of things I wanna talk to you about, but before that, just tell everyone, just for the guys who, if they don't know you, I mean, obviously, you know, they're idiots, but tell us a bit about you. And we've got, they're not going to see the video, but they're just getting this in audio. But you've got a massive sign behind your head that's basically pointing your middle finger at me. Yeah. Let me just, I'll screenshot that because I'll tag it on. Just pop out of the way again for us, please, mate. You're pointing your middle finger at me. And in your program, you are the Unstoppable Bastards. Tell us all about you and that.
So Unstoppable Bastards basically came about as almost a side project from my whole marketing business, my old personal training business, my old supplement business. It kind of came about as a side project after all of those things made me a miserable, fat, depressed dickhead. Basically, now I'm just a dickhead. But it came about because those things... It's not that I hated the business. I was just personally a mess. And I ended up... it's funny you should mention video because some of the guys might not have seen my video. I've got this video that's at 1.7 million views now, which is insane.
Yep.
And it basically describes how I felt at the lowest point in my life when I was ready to jump off a cliff, I actually see it every morning when I wake up now, the same cliff, because I live in a house opposite it. But yeah, that's kind of ironic. But Unstoppable Bastards came about as a project that... basically of things that I'd learned in my journey of sorting my own shit out and getting my own shit together.
Yeah.
So I ended up on a course called Wake Up Warrior. I traveled out to Laguna Beach, California. I had some fights with some men, did some meditation shit. And I ended up just traveling and doing just a bunch of different courses from SAS training to studying with monks.
Yeah.
For like weeks at a time. To going to Germany for 9 days with no mobile phone and working with a lady called Byron Katie, surrounded by 300 European horny women. I did a bunch of crazy shit, and people started to see me changing, and it's still evolving now. You know what it's like, mate. You never stop evolving.
Yeah.
Personally and business wise, but then people kind of just wanted to come along for the ride, and then from then we've had like probably 150 to 200 men come through, whether that's through a live experience in this very room or online or through one of my one-day seminars. So we're starting to see we're kind of transcending into employed men now, but generally it's self-employed men because it's kind of me 2 or 3 years ago. That's who I talk to and that's who I help and that's who I coach and that's whose asses I kick.
Yeah.
Etc. Etc. So that's Unstoppable Bastards. It's when people ask what I do, it's one of those things that's hard to explain.
Yeah.
I mean, you probably get the same thing because you're not sure what you do right now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
People probably still think you're a personal trainer.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I get that too.
Absolutely.
I get that too. People still think I train people on the fucking beach.
Yeah.
But I'm like, here's what I do is I help men. Basically, I help men get their shit together and become unstoppable across all of their life, whether that's in their business, whether it's in their relationship, whether that's with their fitness and their energy levels. And usually it's just a mindset issue. So that's my big passion right now, as well as the marketing side of it. But listen, hand in hand. So, yeah. In a nutshell, we'll make men fight. We'll have them on the beach fighting. We'll have them in a boxing ring fighting. We'll have them doing jujitsu. We'll have the monks come in and teach them meditation. So, yeah, it's a passion project of mine.
It sounds mint. And I've watched your video, and there's a lesson there in what you've said there straight away, you know, and I would imagine, you know, that's in with the program. What was probably one, you know, your darkest day? Yeah. I was going to say one of it, probably is your darkest day. Not only have you come back from that, but you now live right near it. So you've absolutely faced it up, haven't you? You know?
It's insane, dude. And it's insane. And we were just talking about that, the Joe Rogan podcast with that Goggins guy, and he was completely right. I have learned the most and grown the most from those horrible, shitty things that have happened through putting myself through horrible situations. I mean, that's why I got into boxing. That's why I do the SAS stuff.
Yeah.
That's why I've just got my ass handed to me for a full hour in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
I learn the most when I get beat up. So I kind of almost purposefully put myself into those situations to see what I can learn. Like, I like that. But yeah, it's a moment. People are like, oh, I feel really bad for you, and they give me this sympathy vote. I'm like, listen, don't feel sorry for me. It's one of the best things that ever happened to me.
Yeah, definitely.
But for a while, I mean, we get a lot of guys that know that there's something not quite right in their life. I haven't turned my notifications off, mate. I keep getting messages. I keep following up. But we get a lot of guys that know that something's not quite right, and that was me.
Yeah.
So I was almost like, I should change. I know I should stop drinking so much. I know I should maybe do a bit more. I know I should be better around my kids. I know I should be a better husband. I know I should stop doing so much coke. I know I should stop.
Yeah.
And then that moment changed it from a should to a must, because it was literally, this is life and death right
now.
You know what I mean?
Here's
what I remember, right? I remember this clearly. There's two things that happened. That was around about the 19th of December, 2014. And my wife said to me, she was standing in front of me on the cliffs, and just said, think about the kids. And I was like, listen, I'm just a dick to them anyway. I'm horrible to be around.
Yeah.
So fuck. And then she said to me, think about the kids at school, being those two kids whose dad killed himself. And I was like, holy shit. That's what changed it. And the second was 4 or 5 days later, Christmas Day it was, right? Christmas Day. We weren't in the same house. We were around the corner. Christmas Day, I had this crisis team in my house, in my sitting room on Christmas Day. These fuckers had to give their Christmas Day up to sit with me while my mother-in-law's for Christmas. Because I couldn't be around it. And those are two of the most powerful moments of my life. Because what I remember now is, I think what happens to a lot of people, Rick, is we start on these paths, right? And we start doing these new habits. We start working out. We start marketing.
Yep.
We start making a few. We start seeing some progress. And then I've often wondered why we stop. And you know when people talk about self-sabotage? I think all that happens is people forget how much pain they were in when they first started.
So I
don't do that, because I can tap into that, because it's across the fucking, literally every time I open the curtains in the morning, I can see it.
Yeah.
I can see it every single morning. So I can tap into that feeling every day, and I'm like, I'm not going back there. But I think for a lot of people, they get to a point and they'll start just retreating back to their old behaviors a little bit. And I'm like, you just forgot how painful it was. Because pain gets people moving. Pleasure doesn't really get people moving.
Pleasure, definitely.
Pain is what gets people moving. And people just forget why they started almost.
Yeah, you talk to a lot of ladies who've had, you know, more than one child. And they say, don't they, you know, when they've had their first child, they're like, I'm never doing that again.
Yeah.
And then they say, well, you just forget. You forget. Yeah. And obviously then the rewards long term and whatnot. And
it's funny you should... A hangover is exactly the same.
Yeah. It's exactly the same.
You're like, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, I get it. And I'm really interested in how you've embraced combat training as well. You know, most people know my background and whatnot like that. Tell us a bit about that, because you really tagged in with combat training now, aren't you?
I haven't fucked around with it, have I, really?
No, you're all in there now, you know.
I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. I think when you're a young lad in my area, and probably the same in your area, fighting's kind of a thing. You have to be able to take care of your shit.
Yeah.
And I saw something brilliant the other day because I've got both my kids into combat sports as well, and they love it. My son's got 3 stripes in BJJ already.
Yeah.
This is what that means. He's 3 times better than me. No shit, dude. I got a submission last week, and the coach was my son's coach, and he said, "Have you just started?" I was like, he said, "How did you know that?" I said, "I saw you teach my son it." And he showed, I make him show me shit when he gets home. But anyway, fighting's almost a thing. I think we'll have this inbuilt aggression. And then I went to, and I never boxed or anything like that. I played football. That was about it for me. Football and shagging. That was my thing. Football and shagging.
Yeah.
I just need one of those two now.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm retired from both, I think. But there we go.
Undefeated though, dude. Undefeated.
Yeah.
So I this wake up warrior thing, I was you put into a situation. I suppose it was one of the things that attracted me to it. I was like, oh, these dudes are fighting on the beach. So I went to this fighting thing I thought it was like a 5-minute round. It felt like, and it turns out it was like 20 seconds. Turns out it was a 20-second round, and it kind of woke something up in me. I got hurt. And I was like, that's not going to happen again. And then I started training with Alex Enlund, who's a good mate of mine. This was like, I've known Alex since he's about 18, which is crazy.
Good fighter, yeah.
Oh, dude, really good fighter. Dude, he's an even better coach. Anyway, he's coaching in Manchester now as well, by the way.
Yeah, he comes up to SBG, doesn't he? SBG, yeah. No, Alex, I spoke to him. He's a good lad.
He is a great lad. He took me on the pads and shit. And then a friend of mine started boxing. In fact, I think he's in the room next door coaching someone now because I've got a boxing ring.
Oh,
I've got a boxing ring in my other office.
I was just going to say, so just so everybody knows, you've built a boxing ring in your office.
Yeah, I have.
Brilliant.
Here's the deal. When I first figured out I had to get my health together, because back in the day, back then, I was like 4 stone overweight. I was fat, I was miserable, I was unhealthy. I got a friend of mine, Gregory Bradley from Black Box Fitness. There's a plug for him.
Yeah.
Gave me a bunch of kit for free and basically kitted it out. Squat rack, full dumbbell rack, the works. And I never used it.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. I can hear like rave music playing and shit. But anyway, he gave me this stuff and I never used it.
Yeah.
My friend took me on the pads and I was like, oh, this is quite fun. And then he said, you fancy giving sparring a go? And I was like, nah. And then I started sparring and I was like, yeah, I like this. There's something about the feeling. And you know what, mate? I think it helps I had all these anxiety issues and shit as well. And the moment I started boxing, I was like, you know what? Thinking about getting hit in the face is way worse than getting hit in the face.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, listen, dude, 5 months after I started, I broke my nose halfway across my face.
I remember we spoke and your nose was all over the place, wasn't it?
All over the place. Yeah. But you know what? That's another example. That made me a better boxer because I don't block punches with my nose anymore.
I was the same when I started combat sports as a young lad. I had brilliant head movement, but the problem was it was in the wrong direction. Just getting punched in the head all the time, you know.
Punch magnet.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the funny thing is, we talked about this the other day because on Sunday I did 15 rounds of sparring. Right, it was 15 rounds. When I first started, I could do a minute on the pads, and I had to take a minute off. I could do 3 rounds. That was it.
Yeah.
And I think I love combat sports because of that, but also the fact that I learn something every time I do it. Even if it's that I'm doing something wrong.
Yep.
Or am I doing something right? But also I learn something about myself. Is it? How do I react when I get punched?
Yeah.
How do I react when I get hit in the body? How do I react, et cetera, et cetera? And that kind of, I was like, it was a case of the same as I just told you I was doing jiu-jitsu. I would rather be in this challenging environment, this real, it's like a manly environment.
Yeah.
That you go and do a fucking, I mean, I'm not saying, I don't mind doing a CrossFit class. I'll do one and still have fun. It'll be hard.
Mm-hmm.
But that just whole competition thing drives me a lot.
I think with combat sports as well, and I've said it, you know, a lot, you know, it's something I believe we should all try, we should all do. I'm the same, my little lad does combat sports training and whatnot like that. Yeah. And I think it's because you come from a completely even playing field as well. You know, your job title doesn't matter. Your salary doesn't matter. You know, your age doesn't matter because, you know, there's that famous sort of video that's done around, isn't there, of the old guy smashing lumps out of the, because he's been there, you know, clearly he's done it all his life. And for me, it's a, like you say, it's a massive journey of about yourself. You might, you might think that you can look after yourself. You wait till you're 90 seconds into a round and your heart rate's 180, 190 beats and you feel like you're going to puke and you want to black out, you know. So,
it's funny. I said to you before, listen, what I love about it is that I'd rather do that over traditional kind of cardio.
Yeah.
Because I learned something. But also, I don't get to control the intensity. It's a feeling of being out of control.
Yeah.
And you learn that. And I think in everyday life, you don't, there's times where you're not in control of what's going down. You just think you are.
And
when this, it's almost, for me, it increases my resilience to stress. Do you know what I mean? It makes other things like, oh, someone said no on a sales call. Well, so fuck. You know what I mean?
It's
just a different way of reacting to things.
Yeah.
Like I said, fitness is something else. Here's how much I like sparring. I'd rather spar than go on the pads now.
Brilliant.
Pads are harder.
absolutely. Yeah, mate, I get it. I love it. And you know, I'm enjoying watching your sort of journey. And keep it up. Long may it continue. You know.
I was going to say to the lads, the guys that are listening in as well. I've just took on jiu-jitsu, and I think one of the big things, one of the life lessons I get from jiu-jitsu is you've got to. Most people want to be good at something, but they're not prepared to be shit. They're not prepared to look shit. I got filled in for I got a free chiropractic today. That's what it felt like. Chiropractic. I got my neck stretch. I got my back stretch. I got my arms. I got the whole lot worked out. But the thing is, that's the only way I'm going to get better. That's what I've realized.
Yeah.
I tell that to my son all the time. I'm like, dude, you've got to go with people that are better. That's the only way you're going to get better.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Absolutely.
They're looking like you're winning.
Mate, well, I mean, I love it, and it's a great philosophy, and that's gonna lead me on now, because I'll sort of go into a couple of questions that we had, and that's from our, you know, our backgrounds in sort of personal training and whatnot like that, and you know, my mate Darren Roberts, he speaks about that young trainers and coaches, they don't want to do the journey anymore.
Oh yeah,
yeah, they all. I mean, you know, we've talked about, I don't really know what I do. And you've just said you don't really know what you do. And I'm seeing sort of life coaches everywhere. I live at home with a mum still, you know, and all this shit, you know, and people connecting with me and then inboxing me and saying, you know, that they're going to teach me how to live my life with freedom and all this. And I think, mate, you've not even fucking shaved yet, you know, and how are you going to teach me? You've never failed at anything in your life, you know, you know, and whatnot like that. So going back to, you know, just very quickly, I don't want to stay on this too long because I think there's so much more that you can give us in other areas. But a couple of guys asked about the PT industry, which is, you know, your and my background. And the main one that came out of it was what you thought of the modern trends of social media PT and where you think the industry's going in the next few years and whatnot like that.
That's a great question, dude. Here's what I think of the modern fitness industry. Here's what I know. People are spending a bunch of money. People are spending more money than ever on fitness, yet the people that can do the most to help are broke.
Yeah.
And they're broke for me for one reason only. It's because they're obsessed with talking about themselves.
Yeah.
But it's kind of, that's what social media is. But the ability that I have is, and the ability that a lot of great trainers have, they can talk about themselves, but they're also very relatable. They're not just like, my life's perfect. They'll talk about the struggles. They'll talk more of what we would call avatar. So that would be, what do I think of the modern fitness industry? Well, I think that there's a lot of pretending.
Yep.
There's a lot of pretending, especially, and I mean, I'm brand new to Instagram, dude. Instagram's the worst. I'm like, listen, most of these dudes are just pretending and posing that they're successful.
Yeah.
Like you say, they're still living home. They still share a car with their mom.
Yeah. On the mom and dad's insurance.
Yeah, exactly. Here's the thing. You never really see me mention that much anymore. And it's because I can either be focused on that or focus on what I'm doing, period.
Yeah.
Michael Heppel, a friend of mine, a very old friend of mine, actually. He's a successful dude, successful speaker. He's got about 7 best-selling books or something. And I'm actually making a documentary for a charity with him at the minute. But he taught me something a long time ago. He said, there's 2 ways to get the tallest building in your town. Build your own or try and tear somebody else's down.
Yeah.
There's 2 ways to get it. It's up to you. And where do I think it's heading? It's heading wherever you want it to head.
Okay.
I'm not a guy that's really looking for trends. I'm not a guy that really obsesses over his competition. I'm just focused on what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It like a selfish thing, but I'm like, the fitness industry is only going to go, it's only going to get bigger because people are getting fatter.
Yeah.
People are getting fatter. If I was doing something brand new, if I was something, my wife's on my case about this all the time. She wants me to open like a boxing gym. But a right. really, you know, like, Tony Jeffries, right?
Yeah, 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 of course, yeah. Doing really well out in LA, isn't he?
Dude, Tony's gym's $200 a month and it's full.
Brilliant.
So that's an example. Fuck LA. It doesn't matter if it's in LA. For me, how to win in fitness is charge more, not less.
Yep.
And create something that's different. There's a couple of people who I follow on Instagram. There's a place called Rumble Boxing. I don't know if you've seen it. No. I would just copy their model. So what they have, Rick, is, right, they have the gym set up, but they don't have heavy bags or long bags. They just have aqua bags, branded ones.
Yeah.
You can hang a shit ton of those up. And the thing with an aqua bag, you can have three people on it at once with a heavy one. Three people on it at once working. They've got them hanging up. They must have about 30 people in a session, but they've got disco lights and live DJs and all sorts. And it's clean and it's beautiful. That's what I would do.
I have seen him. Yeah.
Have you seen him?
I have seen him. And like you were saying about trends a second ago, they've just done it their own way, haven't they? It's like, doesn't matter what everyone else is doing.
You create the trend, but I've got no problem following someone that's killing it. No problem at all.
Yeah, I'd
rather follow a successful model than slate a successful model because it makes me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I think that I can, you kind of, for me, I'm like, just focus on yourself. To be honest, I couldn't give a fuck where everything's heading. I'm only care about where I'm heading. Like, you know what I mean? All I care about is where I'm heading.
Yeah.
And I can head in whatever direction I want. But here's what I will say, right? If you're in business, the longer you resist sales and marketing, the longer you'll be broke and the longer you'll struggle.
Yeah.
The reason I don't worry about it is because I made this. I had a conversation with a guy this morning. He's a brilliant trainer. He's world record holder on the bench press. He's from South Shields.
Mm-hmm.
He's also 18 stone and lay on top of me.
Fucking hell, right.
And he had a conversation. I had a conversation with him, and he's the best trainer. He's an outstanding trainer. And he said, "But I've got a problem taking money. I've got a problem asking for money."
Yeah.
This is a huge problem for trainers.
Yeah.
What you got to consider is, right, the amount you get paid is a direct correlation of how good you are, how many people you help, but also, this is the big one, communicating how good you are. And that's marketing and selling. That's all that is.
Love it.
Talk about motivation. All you're doing when you're selling is motivating people enough so they buy from you.
Love it. Yeah. 100%.
And here's why I don't worry about the future, is because I know how to market and sell, and I'm committed to mastering it and developing it. And I get slated for this all the time. But here's the thing. I get to choose what I do next.
Yeah.
Once you know how to market and sell, you can do anything you want.
Yeah.
Anything you want.
Yeah.
You can get to choose to open somewhere or do something that you love because you know how to market and sell. And here's the thing. It comes down to your confidence in what you're selling. If you don't believe in what you're selling, you're never going to sell it. If you believe in what you're selling and it has the ability to change someone's life, it's almost it's your moral and ethical duty to learn how to sell it.
Yeah.
People think it's unethical. I'm like, it's not unethical unless you're selling dog shit.
Yeah. It's absolutely. Mate, I'm speaking about, you know, I was speaking to my little boy and speaking to a couple of my friends about it, and it's like vicarious living, you know, and I think you've hit the nail on the head in terms of why people don't like saying, you're absolutely spot on. I said to my little lad, I said to him, son, because you're good at FIFA doesn't mean you know about football. Yeah. Because you can play Mortal Kombat doesn't mean you can fight, you know, and it's like you say, it's because ultimately deep down, you know, I like the word legit. I use the word legit a lot, and it's that people aren't legit. But I love that. I'm going to move on quickly because
Dude, you know what's funny? I want to come back to that for just a second. It comes back to jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
You know why people hate it? Because they're shit at it.
Yeah.
That's why they hate taking money. That's why they hate selling, because they're not very good at it. No one wants to do something they're not very good at.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the real deal. So it's easier for them to talk shit about it than... Is it that selling and marketing shit, or is it that you're just shit?
Yeah, because it's just holding a mirror up to you,
It is.
I love it. Moving on then, mate, because I've kept you for long enough now. But very quickly, a couple more questions. I think you might have answered this once before, but I'm gonna just ask quickly. What does success look like to you?
Ooh, dude, that's a great question. I love that, and you know why? Because it changes all the time.
Yeah.
And I don't have an end game. All I want to, and all this is the human thing. I just want to be happy. That's me. That's everyone's ultimate goal.
Yeah.
I just want to be happy. So, but that I'm aware that what makes me happy will change, and I'm just willing to go with it. So success success for me looks like this. I want to have, I think it's called sovereignty or something. I want to have the ability to do what I want, when I want to do it,
with
who I want to do it with, and that's only if I want to do it at all.
Yeah.
That's success, and I can choose that. That's it, really. Success for me is that personal sovereignty and also just being happy. That's all it comes down to.
Love it. Because I picked up on, you know, before, you've had some big businesses, you've done some big name stuff, and ultimately it didn't fulfill you, so you've moved it on, and that's that, you know. And I love that. Yeah. And that takes balls at the end
of
the
day. Do you know what, Rick? I'm actually, I was talking to one of the kids I was rolling with this morning. I'm actually thinking about stepping back into the supplement game.
Yeah.
And people are like, well, why would you do that? It made you miserable before. I'm like, yeah, but I'm not that dude anymore.
Yeah.
I didn't have any hobbies then and I was bored.
Yeah.
When a man like me is bored, I'll find chaos.
Yeah.
I will create chaos. I'll find it. If I'm not solving problems, I'll invent a problem. That's what anxiety is. But that's what anxiety is.
Yeah, of course.
If I'm not
solving
a problem, I'm gonna invent a problem. I'm gonna invent it. Yeah, so that's I've got no problem going back and doing that. But yeah, it does take gonads. Between me and you, I'm actually shutting down another business next Thursday.
Well, you remember you on live here, so well, you can tell me. You can tell me that one. I'll cut that bit, but
I'm open and honest. There's no holes.
Yeah, well, yet. Mate, listen, I love that. You've answered about your positive mindset and anxiety, and I love that. You're a big thing for something you talk a lot about is work-life balance. Tell us about that real quickly.
Okay, so the interesting thing about work-life balance is it's not about total hours. It's not about that. Because I've had that. I've had the, like, four-hour work week. I had it in Marbella.
Yeah.
What it caused was problems. I was disconnected. I was always on my phone anyway.
Yeah.
Didn't know what else to do. Didn't have any hobbies apart from boozing and snorting coke. So all I did.
Yeah.
All I did. I was addicted to my kids. I was addicted to my wife. Because my idea of work-life balance was wrong. It was wrong.
Yeah.
What work-life balance is about for me is time connected with people. Like, now I can spend less time with my kids if I want to. And work-life balance for me, really, how do you get it? It's just a decision. There's no magic pill to work-life balance. You've got to decide what it is and what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are confused about what it is. Like, what even is it? You've got to decide what it is. So you've got to have a blueprint of what it is. So you got to make up your mind and what it is. And for me, it's probably the ability to do what I want when I want to
do it. Yeah. I love it.
And I find that. Here's the thing, right? I could make more money than I'm making now, but I'm not prepared to sacrifice my lifestyle.
Yeah.
So the goal, it doesn't say I don't want to make more money because I do want to, but I have to change what I'm doing in the hours that I'm working. But how do you get it? Well, it's a commitment. It's just setting boundaries and not crossing them. So if I tell my kids I'm going to pick them up from school, I'll pick them up from school. But imagine me going to my kids and saying, sorry, son, I couldn't pick you up from school today because I fucked around on YouTube for 2 hours instead of doing what I said I would.
Yeah.
This is people's problems. This is why they're not productive. This is why they're spending longer at work than they were before because they're pissing around while they're there.
Yeah, 100%.
And I don't have any productivity hacks. Like, just do what you said you would and set boundaries and actually stick to the boundaries.
Yeah.
The problem when you're self-employed is that you have almost fake freedom. You have flexibility. You know what I mean? It's fake freedom.
Yeah, I do.
You can do what you want. So you have this flexibility, but it doesn't equal freedom.
Yeah.
It doesn't equal freedom. Freedom comes from structure.
Absolutely. You see, you know, I remember when the you know, the Tim Ferriss, the 4-hour working week came out and everyone wanted that, didn't they? You know, and it's a bit like, be careful what you wish for, isn't it? Because, you know, like you say, we do need structure. We do need connection. We do need relationships, you know. And I love it. And it sort of answers, the next question, which is any big mistakes you've made? Any sort of regrets?
How long have we got?
Yeah, I mean, you're fucking human being, aren't you? You know, and that's...
I've made so many, but I wouldn't say I have any regrets.
Yeah.
I would just say the only mistakes I've really made is spending too long in a place of probably insecurity. So there's relationships that I've burnt and sacrificed for to kind of, here's what I'll sum it up as, right? Is that I sacrificed everything. I sacrificed my physical health, my mental health, my parent duties,
yep.
my marriage. I sacrificed friendships. I sacrificed the works to chase this ideal of what I thought success was, what I was conditioned to think success was.
Yeah.
But that model of success wasn't really my model. It was someone else's. And when I got there, it was like, here's how I would describe it. It was like climbing a ladder and realizing the ladder was against the wrong building.
Yeah. Love it.
I've been climbing the ladder for about 10 years. And then I got to the top and I was like, oh shit, it's the wrong building.
Yeah.
So here's what I think makes people unhappy is when your reality doesn't match your blueprint, right? Yeah.
Yes.
So when the way things are doesn't match the way you think things should be.
Yep.
But I realized it was my reality matched the way things that I thought things should be, but it wasn't my way that things should. Does that make sense?
100%.
My blueprint wasn't mine, it was somebody else's. And real unhappiness comes from people is when they think they can't affect their reality and when they can't affect their blueprint. But the thing is, most people don't even know what this is. They haven't looked hard
enough. Yeah.
Just saying more money and more clients. They haven't looked hard enough, but also they don't even know what this reality is either.
They just
think it's shit. I'm like, dude, get the facts down. Show me the facts, because everything else is fantasy. Yeah.
Okay. Last one, very quickly. Who do you look to for inspiration?
Hold on, mate. For some reason, me Fitbit just came up there. Sorry, I'm still here.
Yeah.
Fitbit just came up there.
Tracking.
Oh, we're on 10,000 steps.
Yeah, I love it. I've noticed that. I love it. Who do you look to for inspiration?
Do you know what, dude? This changes all the time as well. Obviously, I follow Gary J. White, who's an old coach of mine, a good friend of mine. And you know what? This sounds cheesy as fuck, but my kids inspire me a lot.
Yeah, me too.
Inspire me a lot because they're both very different. My son's like my wife. He's really laid back and shy.
Yeah.
And my daughter's like me, a four-year-old fucking whirlwind. I can show you an example. Like, honestly, I'll go in a boxing gym. Leslie will come and pick me up. The kids will come in. Nina will walk into a boxing gym, which is an intimidating environment. Sweat. Yeah. She'll just walk in and start singing at the top of her voice.
Brilliant.
My son is seven. He won't even come in the door. That's how different they are.
Yeah.
But they inspire me when they go into situations and that I wouldn't say they're fearless, but they just do it anyway. Like, my son did a BJJ competition and got choked out in 20 seconds in his first fight.
Yeah.
In his first match. And he just got up and was okay and went back into the next one.
Yeah,
and
just go again.
Then he lost again.
Yeah.
To a heavier kid. For 3 minutes, a heavier kid was on top of him and he didn't give up.
Yeah.
And then again, he went again. Honestly, it was phenomenal. I was
brilliant.
Like, shit, this kid will just keep going. Yeah, and that really shocked me because of how shy he was. He didn't show any nerves. He was just, fuck it.
Mate, it's life lessons from kids, isn't it? And there's so many to be had, you know.
Oh, so. Dude, it's unbelievable. And I love talking about being a dad because people get that twisted as well. I'm like, listen, you can lecture them as much as you want.
Yeah.
But they'll copy everything you do.
Yeah.
My kids copy everything that I do. My son got in trouble yesterday because he stuck the middle finger out the window. And I'm like, I had to sit him down. He's like, well, Dad, you do it. And
absolutely.
I haven't got a leg to stand on when he says that.
Yeah,
I can lecture
funny.
Him, but I can't. It's funny. Like when he asks us why we support Sunderland. I haven't got an answer for that either.
Yeah.
Why do I have to support Sunderland? I'm like, because my dad said I had to.
Yeah, absolutely. conditioning at its best, mate. I love it. Listen, mate, I'm gonna let you go. Last thing, how do people get in touch with you who want to work with you?
So if they're still here, normally I'm like, don't bother. But if you're still here, if you've been offended, you're probably long gone.
Yeah. Who cares?
We've kept it fairly light today.
I think we have.
We haven't ranted.
We've sounded like we're marginally intelligent, but you know, let's not go too far.
That's what I was saying. I wouldn't go that. Yeah. I'm going to say I wouldn't go too fucking far, just to spice it up. Just to spice it up a bit. But if you're not offended, probably the best place to follow me is just add me on Facebook, on Instagram, wherever, or head on over to unstoppablemanproject.com. But any of those things, I just share stuff that I've shared here, just real shit.
Real I love
shit,
it.
Real everyday life. I'll see the naughty stuff. You'll see my kids. Yeah, my kids are starting to get a little bit famous, actually. Everyone knows them.
Brilliant. 100%.
Mate,
100%. I mean, I love it, mate. I love the journey. I love watching it. I love the realness, the rawness of it. I love that you're not trying to be anybody you're not. I think that's a massive lesson.
I've tried that already. It was exhausting.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I hear you on that. I think that, you know, from my perspective, you know, as I say, I love what you do. I love following it. Keep it going, mate, because it's very, very inspiring, you know. So,
see those bruises on my arm?
Mate, look at that arm. People are not going to be able to see that. It almost looks like a gun. Phone the police.
Shut up, man. I was showing you the bruises, man. I'm covered in fucking bruises.
Mate, you get no sympathy over here, mate. No sympathy. So, listen, thank you again, Paul.
Thank you so much.
UnstoppableManProject.com, was it?
.com, dude, aye.
Love it.
Thanks so much for your time, Rick. I appreciate it. Thank you for asking me on. You guys who are listening to Rick, keep listening to Rick. He's a smart motherfucker.
Boom. There you go. We'll leave it at that, guys. We'll speak to you soon. Take it easy. Hey, yo, we came to rock the venue. Then that's why the several shots. Say, Jaeger followed by 20.